Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam.
Exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dekdag.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is Usama Dekdag. As you just have seen my picture, and here I am with you from the state of Texas all the way to, what is the name where I am, brother, right now? Fort Davis, close to the end of the west of Texas. I drove literally 946 miles to come to this beautiful place where it is beautiful. You know what, Christy? I was outside a minute ago, and I looked at the star, and behold, thousands and thousands. This was the Milky Way. I mean, unbelievable stars. If I have a choice between do this show with you or go outside and watch the stars, I will go outside and watch the stars. But we're going to do this because, obviously, we're here for the show. And hello, Christy, and how are you?
Usama, I'm doing great. It's been a interesting week. And, of course, as you know, I've been working a lot. And my little friend is talking, but we'll get her to calm down. I have had a very interesting couple of weeks, many different things. I drove to Pensacola, Florida, to help a friend of mine. Hey, got the switch off here, I thought. Be quiet. She keeps talking about Islam is the light, but we're okay now. But, you know, Usama, when you see what people are dealing with financially, it really is a huge difference. I'm sure you noticed it driving around the country. We're back to these skyrocketing prices for gasoline. But now on top of it, you go to the store, the shelves don't have things that they normally have. You're looking for a product that always was there. Guess what? It's not there now. And what you are finding, you will be paying more money for. Absolutely. Even the Dollar Tree. The Dollar Tree, one of my favorite things, will now have to be the Dollar and Half Tree or something like that.
No more Dollar Tree. Dollar Tree, my foot. I actually bought gas $4.74 a gallon. Like, whoa, what is that? I mean, should I put gas or should I keep driving? Maybe I find a cheaper place somewhere else. No, we have to put gas. So everything's going up. And if you can find it, buy it. Because trust me, most likely if we continue with the same mentality, with the same administrative team, with the same agenda, for sure, things are going to go even higher and higher. And you will not find it later. It is a sad story about what's happening in America. But that is the reality of how you create chaos to get the people to submit to whatever you're going to ask them to do, because, hey, that's how communists came to exist. Get the, create shortage, create chaos, and this is it.
And always blame something that isn't really the problem, because what you do is you put up a false narrative about what's wrong. So the people looking for a solution are always focused on the wrong thing. So we know this is going on. We could have predicted it, but the sad thing is people are still suffering because of it. And so, you know, that's why we did our little funny video.
Well, I hope you like The Government Can with Tim Hawkins. And I've seen it. That's fine. If not, maybe we'll play it again next podcast. We'll
be that's fine. I'm going to record it so we can maybe have it on the radio at some point. But, you know, the whole point is people don't realize how important it is to have your voice heard in an election. And many people who haven't paid attention about who they voted for, maybe they just voted for party. I'm going to tell you, in both parties, both major parties, Republican and Democrat, there are what I like to call scoundrels, really wicked people who will say anything to get elected and then never do what they've promised to do. And that goes for both parties. But the sad thing is, that a lot of times after people vote, they don't pay attention to what's happening and what policies are being brought in. So we need for people to be more awake, more aware. And even if you are a person in this country who cannot vote, you can still tell the truth about what's going on. In some cases, you saw the people that have come from other countries to be in the United States of America where they could be free, even if they're not able to vote, they can see the corruption that's coming in and this communist Islamic agenda. You know, Brennan House calls it the Red-Green Alliance, where you have communists and Muslims cooperating together to change America for the worst, not for the better.
So you know what's amazing, Christy? Foreigners who were not born in this country can see what is happening more than those who were born in this country.
Yes.
We came. We came from a country where we don't have freedom, and we see the changes happening in America. And someday, Adam can talk about that, I guarantee you, because he knows what's going on where he come from. And I can talk about that in depth because we have seen both sides of the story. And now you slowly are being cooked in this, like a frog, in this warm water, hot water, boiling water. And you are not realizing most Americans, unless you're a solid conservative, cannot see what's happening in this country. But believe me, sooner or later, all are going to feel the heat of the water. But the longer we wait, the too late it will be for us to fix the problem. Right now, we can see the problem. We say, maybe there is hope. Maybe the America can be more realized what's happening. And then when it got so dark and gets so hot, it's not fixable. It's not fixable. Sadly, that's what I'm afraid about, coming to America. Anyway, any other important things? We talked about the Uncle O'Biden is going to give $450,000 to every illegal young man, young lady came to this country. Millions and millions to be given. I don't understand why. When a people commit a crime, you reward them? I think they're doing that for a purpose, Christy, because I promise you, if this will continue, that means you're going to have literally 20 million, 30 million Muslims and illegal come to this country in the next few years. It's going to be in the million, not 2 million, 20, 30 every year, because it's the same. It's the same.
Yes.
Well, the same people that can carry 1,000 people, can carry 10,000 people, can carry 5 million people. So it's the same. It's going to happen again and again and again.
You know, you saw some of the stories that are important today, so many more of them immediately are related to Islam. A lot of things concerning Iran. We have our president right now over in Europe and they're having meetings, and the president of Iran is credited with some really ugly, vicious criminal acts that we would call them in the United States, and other countries like Russia and China are not even going to this meeting. But the concerns for Americans are that, remember how Obama wanted to give the Iranians this 10-year deal where they wouldn't develop nuclear weapons? Well, now Biden is wanting to set all this up again. And we know that this is wicked.
He lost his mind. He should not make any more decision, even going to the bathroom. Somebody has to help him to make a decision for him to go to the bathroom, especially if it is in the middle of the night, because he may fell between the bed and the bathroom. This man is unqualified to run any business. Somebody should impeach him, get rid of him, find him criminal of all the crime he committed. Not just impeach him, get him to be taken by the military as a commander-in-chief to be judged militarily and get shot and killed.
Well, I think a lot of people would agree with you, but ultimately, if there's not an impeachment on this president, and you know Marjorie Taylor Greene has been pushing for that, then there's not any avenue to change this.
Biden will serve two terms, not one term.
Well,
because if the Democrats can keep him like that, just moving around, give him some drugs, make him stand in front of a camera and make fool of himself as he's been doing for the last 9-10 months. They will keep that guy as long as they have a life in him and somebody put some air in his throat. He will be running this country until we don't have this country.
Well,
to the American people. How do you want to do that?
Well, but the American people do have a lot of things they're doing, and that's why we have some hope. There are more and more states that are evaluating the election outcome of 2020, and they're finding that in their state, Biden didn't win. And this is, I know it's a slow process, but it is a legal one that they're following. The other thing that is happening, USAMA, is that you have a lot of people who are coming out and actually talking about their vote for Biden and how they would never vote for him again. And if they'd known what was being hidden from them by the media, they would not have voted for him. So ignorance has promoted a lot of people to go along and, you know, accept what he's doing. But the truth is more and more people are realizing it. His poll numbers are so bad. I think that that's why Jill Biden.
You really believe he has 34%? I don't think he has even
34%. I understand.
34. They lie in the election. They lie for the vote. I don't see the Democrats. Where are the Democrats in the street? Besides those whom you see on CNN, CBS, and the garbage liberal news, where are the Democrats? They're not here. How in the world they have 34%? There's not even 30% in America are Democrats.
Well, USAMA, I'm making the point that it doesn't matter what his numbers actually are. We never get actual real numbers. But the point is that Joe Biden's wife is now talking about the potential to have Kamala Harris removed and impeached. She's been inquiring about that. Kamala Harris, the vice president, and Jill Biden, the president's wife, are having a huge disagreement. In the White House, they say these two have absolutely nothing to do with each other, so there's women are having this conflict. What that means is disorganized stuff going on. But quickly, in the headlines related to Islam, I just want to say the Pentagon is saying that ISIS and Al-Qaeda could make terror attacks or plan terror attacks on the United States from Afghanistan. Gee, USAMA, didn't we know and weren't we worried about this a long time ago before Biden threw all these terrorists on the planes to come here? And the report is that terrorists were actually released from prison and immediately escorted to planes to leave Afghanistan. Of course, why not?
I wish you can play the shows which we recorded when Obama was in the White House, because it seemed to me if I would replay these shows which we did, it's the same. When we are weak, Muslims are strong. When Muslims are strong, they don't cry for peace. They do their dirty work for Allah and Muhammad and for Islam. It's just the same thing. Nothing is new under the sun. It is the same thing. We are now so weak that if Obama's days was very bad, Obama's day, literally, Biden make Obama look great, like Obama made Carter look great.
Well,
it's so weak, it's so stupid, it's so ridiculous, and I don't think that it's out of it. Even if Kamala become a president tomorrow morning, she will make it even worse.
Well, we know. That's why that wouldn't help us at all. Nobody's pushing for Biden to be impeached because Kamala Harris would be worse. But I just want to touch quickly on...
Before you get something up. Did I tell you what happened when I went to the store, like Home Depot? It's called not Home Depot, not Lowe's, Menards. I was in Menards in Rochester with my friend Kent Larson. He plays accordion for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did I tell about the story when I talked to the guys working there who are Democrats? I actually talked to them with deception. Believe it or not, I normally don't do that. I just want to carry a conversation with a Democrat, and everywhere I go, nobody Democrat was talking to me. He said, well, you know what? Let's pretend I'm a Democrat. And I thought, man, what's he going to do? I said, Biden is not doing a great job. And things look, there's no nails, there's no pipes, there's no screws. It's expensive, everything. And he said, yeah. I think we made a mistake. He's talking as a Democrat, but we're both Democrats. We made a mistake. And I said, what happened if we just impeach him? He said, oh, no, we should not impeach him. I said, why is that? He said, well, Kamala Harris is even worse than him. I said, so the Democrats know.
They know
it too. They're going to get the worst president. A woman, she does not even have logic when she can laugh. She laughed out loud like a drunk or somebody under the influence of marijuana in the wrong time. If you tell her, your father passed away. He passed away. She laughed about anything. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's a serious matter or a comedy matter, the woman does not have any mind. If you think O'Biden is bad, Kamala is worse. I think her brain is cooked. Too much marijuana or whatever else she's doing, that she's not there either. So God help us.
Yes.
Can we impeach both? Oh, we're going to end with Nancy Pelosi. Oh, Lord have mercy. Who are you going to have as a president in this country?
Well, again, I think we're going to have to trust God. There's a lot of Christians that are praying and doing things. I want you to know the Christians are not sitting back and doing nothing. I hope some of you will get encouraged by watching OAN, by watching Real America's Voice, by watching Steve Bannon on War Room. These are people who are calling for action and coordinating actually some very powerful things. These school boards, taking over these school boards, you realize that Attorney General Merrick Garland looked so foolish being questioned in Congress about why he was calling parents terrorists, which he denied, but he looked.
I did not say that. I did not do that. He was grilled good, but the man is the best deceiver. If you say Obama was bad, that man is 10 times worse.
But
thank God. Thank God. Can you imagine having that piece of garbage as a Supreme Justice?
Well, we are thankful, but you know what? We just had this vote to see if the mandates could be stopped, and two of the recent appointees of Trump voted with these liberal judges to say, no, the states don't have the right to stop the mandate for vaccines. That is ridiculous, because this mandate is completely unconstitutional. There is no constitutional authority of the federal government to tell you what you need to do medically. And I was furious when I heard the Supreme Court's ruling on this.
How you can have a true Supreme Justice, not bunch of garbage non-believers, but conservative Christians.
Well, that's what we hoped.
I'm sorry, Trump did not bring one Christian believer. We got 9 Supreme Justices, not one of them is a born-again Christian believer, not one.
Let me ask you a question, Usama. How easy is it to find a born-again believer for anything? You're foolishly thinking everybody who says they're a Christian is a born again believer, but unfortunately, we are learning no, they are not. So anyway, that's just my 2 cents. But let me finish quickly with these headlines, because there are some important ones here. In Sudan, Christians are concerned for security after a military coup happened in Sudan. And Christians are very concerned, and we've already had in the past these attacks against Christians in the Sudan. Years ago in the 80s, so many Christians were slaughtered. We ended up with Sudanese children escaping, and I actually had some of them as teenagers in the program I was working here in Mississippi. They took these kids and brought them to the United States as refugees, which thank God they did that. That was good. But I'm telling you, we're going to have more. But in this case, under Biden, we'll probably have them bringing the Muslims here from Sudan, because the Christians are complaining about them. Oh, and that's hateful. But you know what
you
I'm saying?
You know what, Professor? Biden will do what Clinton then did. Remember when Clinton was busy with Monica in the White House and he got caught and he wanted to cover it? He went in war with Serbia. killing the Christian and bringing the Muslims to
Missouri. Yes, exactly.
In one place, in Southeast Missouri, in St. Louis, Missouri, there were 23,000 Serbian Muslims claimed them brought to America. So why not? Let's make Biden go on war in Sudan, kill the Christians to the knees, and bring Muslims to America as refugees.
That would
be a good idea. I mean, 4 or 5 million will not hurt anything at all.
We have
a lot of land in America. This is
so crazy. So anyway, continue to pray for the Christians in the Sudan. And then also we have those who were kidnapped in Haiti. If they pay the ransom to get these people back, then this is just going to promote more kidnappings of Americans. But the sad thing is, what are you going to do to save these people's lives? This is not a good position to be in. And Usama, this is what you get when you have a weak president. When we had Trump as president, they wouldn't have wanted to mess with him, and this kinds of things wouldn't happen. But now that Biden is in there, we warned people, you have a weak president, then you're going to have all kinds of people thinking, oh, great, this is a good time to attack America, kidnap Americans, and get ransom money for them. So
I have a question for you, Chris. I have a question for you. What did Mr. O'Biden touch and he did not destroy? Can he name for me one thing he did in the last 10 months and it did not break down? Literally. Can you share just one thing?
No, because
I normally will not do that, but here's the challenge. If we have anybody who listens to us right now who believe that O'Biden did not damage something he touched, please let me know. Talk to Adam or somebody who's in control of them. Let me know. Just write to us and tell us, yes, I have something to share, and I'll have you live right now to share with me and Christy and educate us about something Mr. O'Biden have touched and he did not break or did not damage. Anybody?
Well, we'll watch the chat.
Anybody?
But I want to give one more report, Usama. This is touching. This is the last thing that I have that we have time to share.
Yes.
But we have now 17 Egyptian Coptic Christians went missing in Libya on September 30th, and fears are rising that. I'm just reading the headline. These are not my words. This is the report. And fears are rising that Islamic extremists may have kidnapped them in a repeat of ISIS abductions and beheadings of 21 Egyptian Coptics in Libya in 2015.
The picture which I have on my booklet, the true violence of Islam.
Yes.
And you know what? God bless O'Biden. He's making Muslims hero. He's making them strong. He's making them great. He's destroying Christian worldwide persecution, everything. He's destroying America. He's destroying everything. I mean, this is the reality. We are not yet in his first year. If he will go for another year, I do not know if you're going to have water to drink in your home. Or toilet paper to use to clean yourself after using the bathroom in your house. I have no clue what is coming to America having that piece of nutcase, criminal, with all the people who put in power who are criminal, the bloodthirsty of a hatred towards conservative and American constitution. It is so sick. I don't even have words to speak this. I'm out of words to describe what is coming to America, because we need to rise up. We need to say enough is enough. I wish we can have just another 4 or 5 states to prove the social election in Arizona and get rid of that garbage and Trump in the White House, because Trump won.
I know.
Trump is going to fix it. We have enough damage that the water is about to go inside the ship. Titanic is about to go under the water. And if we let the water fill the Titanic, trust me, I hate to say that. It sounds like I'm an extreme or weird or crazy. If Jesus Christ become a president, he will not fix America. If we keep the Democrats to do what they're doing for the next 3 years, trust me, not Trump, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, come to be in the White House, is unfixable. He will come to judge the earth and end life on the world. But he will not fix America. It would be a greater miracle than Jesus to wake up this country, because if we don't get it right now, get the homeless. I'm not a Christian believer. I believe Jesus can. God Almighty can do it. But if we let it to go until the sin of this country being in full, as you read in the book of Genesis chapter 15, how did God judge the Amorites, the nine nations who used to live in the promised land, when their sin came in full? I believe having O'Biden in the White House and Democrats to control this country for 3 more years, that will bring America to the point where it is. The sin is in full. And that is when exactly the judgment of God will come on America, because otherwise, I believe our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah and every place where he judged them in the past, because we are going to be worse. And we've already been worse, but it's going to get even worse than any of the people of the earth who have been judged with the judgment of God for their sin. This is getting really, really bad.
You know, Usama, to just kind of touch on what you're saying, the problem is, and I really appreciated the program you did with Muhammad a couple of weeks ago, because that was the message that the Christians who are calling themselves believers need to wake up and speak up and stop letting the churches be silenced from talking about politics, you know, because if we don't do something about this, if the Christians are the only ones who are going, oh, well, we don't want to get political here, then our country is going to go straight down, because we are the salt and we are the light of the world. And that includes America. And I love the message that he brought, the sin of silence. It was really excellent. But here's the thing. There are so many churches like that, and you don't know it until you start speaking up as a Christian, and they'll let you know that that's not acceptable. Sure. If that happens, I agree with him. You need to move on somewhere else, because you can be a person who is silent, and that's the sin. If you allow this stuff to continue, and only can the repentance of God's people change things. Only their repentance, our repentance, my repentance. If you're a Christian, you can change what's going on. But the lost people, they can't change it. They're not going to save America. There is a report about Fauci and the experiments he did on dogs. If you have not heard about that, it is horrible. And one thing I know as a counselor, a psychologist, is that one of the first things that a person who will abuse other human beings, even to the extent of becoming a serial killer, one of the early signs of that problem is the torture of animals. Now, I heard this today. Fauci was not only involved in supporting those evil experiments on these beagle puppies, but he also used foster children who had AIDS to experiment with drugs during the 80s on these foster kids without proper monitoring. And they did this because these children were easily used as guinea pigs for his plans for a vaccine to stop AIDS. I didn't know this until the day, but let me tell you, if he's willing to experiment on children, I don't think anybody should be doing a vaccine that they're bringing out for kids today. He does not care about human life. And that's where you and I, as believers in Christ, we have to stand up, because we do have the answer. We do.
The judge name is Jesus Christ, and that man will burn in hell unless he truly repents and confesses all his sins to the American people openly. If he continues to do what he's doing, like the rest of the Democrats, there is a place for the true judgment, just judgment of God on people such as these. If you don't believe there is a hell, look at what these people are doing, and you know for sure. If there is a God, there is hell. For people like that, who don't repent, don't think they do anything wrong, they think they own everything. They own the dog, and they own the children, and they do whatever they want to accomplish their goals. Someday you'll find out that even this vaccine we're taking right now, they're experimenting on us. They're using us,
yes.
The people that grow up in America, as the dog, as the little children. Let's take a break, Christy. When I come back, Lord's willing, we're going to start our study of women is love.
Yes.
Women is love is a very important study. We have done it years ago, and we're going to start on it today. Lord's willing, if we could not even finish it today, we're moving on to next week to cover more of this part. So
I'm going to share our little print too, because this is a young woman trying to get into Islam.
Yes, ma'am. And notice that, guys, the picture on the red booklet, these are the Egyptian, my Egyptian people who were slaughtered.
I'll show it if you don't have it.
No, I have it. It's coming up.
Ah, all right, great.
The Straightway of Grace Ministry is excited to announce the creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straightway to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini-booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstood Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arises from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. To order these new booklets, please visit thestraightway.org for more information. And now, back to our show.
Well, thank you for having us with you. And this is the picture on the red booklet of the Egyptian, which I shared with you earlier. It's breaking heart. But you know what? When the ISIS wonderful Muslim believers beheaded these people, they took a video of the whole thing, and it was a great testimony. We did a TV show about this video, when this happened, was in the days of Obama, at first term. And we thanked them for making the video, because it was a great testimony. As these men were beheaded, not one of them scream and shout for their life, but one of them said hallelujah, and one of them said thank you Jesus. It was one testimony after another as they beheaded them, and they didn't have anything to do, but hey, cut the head off. That's okay. They're in heaven. I know for sure they're in heaven, not because they were beheaded, but because they were beheaded as believers. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
So anyway, Chris, we need to start on our presentation, Women in Islam. I'm going to do my best to launch it here. Lord,
okay, are you going to let me play this while you're launching? Because
we talked
about this little doll, and it came out so many years ago. I don't know if people realize that it was a real deal, but here we go. I'm going to turn her on. She could... Okay, let's do it.
Oh,
did you hear Islam is the light?
Islam is the light. No, Islam is darkness.
This doll was... You could hear it. It's just cooing and making baby noises. The only word that came out was mama until it said, Islam is a light.
Yes, indeed. Islam is a light.
That was a miracle of Allah, according to
Islam. Indeed. Islam is a light, my foot. Well, I think we are ready to launch our presentation, Christy. Women in Islam is one of my favorites. And hopefully and briefly we'll cover as much of it. You feel free, Christy, to stop me anytime. And Brother Adam, if you want to share anything, feel free to come in and give me your comments. And Lord's willing, we're going to have a great time. First of all, like we always do in every presentation, we put the cover page for revealing the name of our ministry, which is the Straightway of Grace Ministry. And quickly I share that name, the Straightway of Grace Ministry, came out of the Sufis. As Muslims pray to Allah, guide us to the straight way. And the answer for the prayer, that is what Jesus said in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I will always emphasize on that. Muslims will continue to be Muslims. Muslims will continue to pray to the Allah Satan. Muslims will continue to ask him to guide them to the straight way until we, the Christians, carry the answer for the prayer, which is the words of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. How can we stop praying until we share the truth of the gospel with them? And that is exactly what's happening. This is a picture of my beloved wife, Vicky, our son, Caleb. And you keep us in your prayer. We appreciate that. And this is the start of our meditation. Yes, indeed. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar is the shout which Muslims did when they beheaded my 19 Egyptian, as you saw the picture in the red booklet. Allahu Akbar is the same shout where Muslims shouted it as they took the airplane to the towers of September 11. Allahu Akbar is the shout which Muhammad and his early companion used to do to scare the daylight out of the villages whom they attacked. Every time Muhammad carried an attack, carried an invasion on a village, he surrounded the city with his people and they shout, Allahu Akbar, Takbir, Allahu Akbar. That is exactly like the sound of the lion when about to take his victim or whatever animal he's going to chew on and eat. When the lion makes a sound, the whatever other creature is going to eat gets scared and gets in corner and think until the lion attacks and eats. That's exactly what Muhammad and every Muslim believers until today do. I know it's the same word along, but when they pray, because prayer fits perfectly with the killing of Islam. Yes, indeed, Muhammad ordered his Muslim believers to perform the Friday prayer or whatever after the noon prayer in Bani Quraysh's land, 3 miles away. Some of them would look, oh, the clock, it's time to pray. I'm not going to wait until it gets some pray in the middle. But Moses, they said, no, Muhammad said, pray there. And that's where they went to pray. 25 days later, they beheaded between 700 and 900 men. And then they took the women and the daughters to rape, as Muhammad ended with two beautiful girls, Safiya, the daughter of Hiyai, and can remember the girl's name. And then the rest of the Muslims took all the women and the children, and they inherited their homes and their land and their money. Go read Quran chapter 33, verses 26 and 27. But they shouted Allahu Akbar, and they prayed using the word Allahu Akbar on the victims of Bani Quraiza, as we read the interpretation of Muslims call to Quran chapter 33, verses 26 and 27. Every time I hear the word Allahu Akbar, I know, yes, Allah is bigger. Allah is larger. Not God is great, as the foolish McCain told the American people. Allah is not God. Allah is Satan. Akbar means bigger or larger, not great. The word great in the Arabic language is azim. Revealing the truth about Islam. And the study for tonight and perhaps tomorrow, next Saturday, Lord's willing, is about women. Women in Islam. Why I started this presentation? Why even I thought about putting this presentation together? You see, what happened is I went to New Orleans University. When I was studying in New Orleans Seminary, Baptist Theological Seminary, a friend of mine by the name Neshet Usama, there are Muslims speaking at the university. Would you like to come? He said, sure, why not we go there? Dr. Sahar, she's so sweet. Her mom is a white American. Her dad is a Muslim Kuwaiti. Money, riches. And she talked about women in Islam for 40 minutes or so. And as she keep talking and talking about the topic of women in Islam, I really felt like, wow, is this not Islam I heard of? Is this a brand new Islam? Maybe she have a different book than the Quran. Maybe she believes in different Muhammad than the Muhammad of the Quran. She just is a brand new Islam. So at the question answer session, two people raised their hand. Me in the back and a young black lady in the front. And this young black lady, she stood up and she said, Dr. Sahar, how can I become a Muslim? Oh, Dr. Sahar said, well, I'm glad you want to become Muslim, but I did not share with you what I shared with you about women is love because I want you or anybody to become Muslim. I'm just telling you the truth. You and everybody else who would like to become a Muslim or a Muslima, after the meeting, we'll go to a separate room and we'll share with you how you say the Shahada and how you become, okay? And I'm glad you came and thank you for blah, 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 blah. Now, I stood up in the back and there was two cameras there. As I stood up to ask my question, the two cameras zoomed on me. I felt a little bit important and, you know, pretty good. I said, excellent speech, Dr. Sahar. But where did you come up with this teaching about women in Islam? I said, I'm not surprised that young lady in the front here, she want to become a Muslima after she heard what you said. If I was a woman, I would love to become a Muslima too. Where did you come up with this Islam? She said, well, that is what is written in the Quran, and that's what is taught in the Hadith, and that is the Sunnah of Muhammad, and that's what Muslims always believe and practice. I said, ma'am, I've been listening to you for 45 minutes, and you have never shared one verse from the Quran or one saying of Muhammad in the Hadith to prove your points. You're just making up a line of propaganda Islam. I don't know where you come up with this. Nothing you have shared with this group of students here. There are at least maybe 150 students there. Nothing you have shared with these students is true. Would you mind if I share with you from the Quran what Allah said? You said, and I quoted, I believe, four or five verses. You said women Islam is this, but Allah said that. You said women Islam is this, but Muhammad said that. You said, and believe me, halfway before we even get to that place, the camera will turn off, and the guys were behind the camera were upset, and that was the end of the meeting.
Wow.
So I left Chris and I went home. I was sick in my stomach, but I'm wondering how many colleges these Muslims travel all over this country to have this Muslim-Christian dialogue. 2 weeks of every college. These are the MSA, the Muslim Student Association. These are the Muslims who are here in America, not because they need our stupid degree. They can have the same degree in Egypt for free. They're willing to come to America because, first of all, they got a visa, student visa. They come to America. They fall in love with the Muslim, with the American men whom they make Muslim to marry. These are the women. And the student, the Muslim men, fall in love with the American young ladies, the Catholic and the Baptist, as we have seen in our last program. And they grow in America to be Muslim, raising Muslim babies. But more than that, they are the missionaries of Saudi Arabia to America. We send missionaries to the Muslim world, and 99% of them do not know any mission work at all because they never share the truth of the gospel with the lost world to lead them to Christ. But they come into America, making a brand new propaganda Islam for the American people, except, and they are converting thousands of American students in college. I'm not talking about stupid who cannot read and write. No, students in college. And that's how Islam is growing in America. With deception. Go ahead, Christy.
Yeah, I want to let you know this effort has been quite successful on the Blog Talk Radio. I put up a slideshow including these wonderful new magazines, online magazines, with all of these lovely young Muslim women speaking about how they have their rights and they can speak out and they don't have to wear oppressive clothes. But I mean, it's unbelievable how this deception has hit the college students in the United States.
The sad thing is, by the way, when I went back to the same teaching in the following day, they were talking about Islam and slavery. They did not allow me to talk, period. They actually put a big black Egyptian guy, very dark-skinned guy, very tall from his accent. I know he's Egyptian, who spoke to me in the Arabic language. At the question and answer session, I raised my hand, and he told me in the Arabic language, "Hat idak taht," put your hand down. I said, excuse me, what? He said in Arabic, Put your hand down. You're not going to ask any question. I said, it's a question answer session. I have the right to ask. Every time, by the way, he spoke to me in Arabic, I was talking to him in English so I can make sure that all the students sitting around me know what he's doing. I said, what do you mean I put my hand down? It's a question answer session, man. I'm going to ask this great scholar's question about whatever they're talking about. And he will not allow me. And he actually told me, threatened me, if you insist on the question, I'm going to call the campus police. And we're going to throw you out of college, and we are going to put you in jail. And you know what, Christy? He was not joking.
Oh,
there are plenty of stupid Americans in college, in the security, who will, if they have arrested me for sure, if they put me out of the school, I will be in jail for a few days, at least for overnight. And Muslim will laugh. Because American people are so ignorant of Islam and so unwilling to backwards bow down to the Muslim, kiss them hand and feet, give them their children and their wives, for heaven's sake, if the Muslim wanted them. And they're wanting to do anything to not upset the Muslims and to make sure that they are appeased, well loved, and well cared. And this happened, Christy, literally 1 year after September 11th. That meeting was in New Orleans University 1 year after September 11th. That was 19 years ago. Now, I want you guys to listen carefully to what I'm about to share with you of how Muslims represent Islam concerning the subject of women in America. People always ask me the question, Christy, how in the world American ladies are becoming Muslims? What in the world intrigues them or excites them about becoming Muslim? I said, what they learn about Islam. If you read what Muslims and hear what Muslims teach about women in Islam, you will become a Muslim yourself. If you, you just have believe it. And believe it or not, Sister Connie shared with me a video tonight. We may be late next week because I don't know too much about technology, guys. When it comes to technology, good luck. I'm glad that you still can see me and you still can see the PowerPoint. Hopefully, we'll not destroy what I'm doing here. But Sister Connie sent me a video from a lady from Iran. We will play it, through the Lord's willing, next week if we can put it in my PowerPoint or somehow we can play it. But you see that, you know why women are Muslim? Guess why women are in Islam are Muslims?
You want me to guess? Because
yeah.
I don't think they know what Islam is.
Oh, there's another better reason than that. Because they're stupid. I'm not kidding you. If you listen to that Iranian woman and her teaching in this good 3-minute video, you see, they are stupid. I mean, they live in the depths of the darkness of Islam, and they say Islam is light. Like that doll you have in your hand. Islam is not the light. Islam is darkness. Islam is not peace and love. Islam is a savage cult to the Muslims before to the infant.
I think it's true. If you are truly a Christian, you're not going to be taken over to become a Muslim. But that is the problem. We have a lot of people who are in church, but they're not saved. They really, truly are not Christians. So that's a problem.
Yes, ma'am. So anyway, so listen to how Muslims are creating brand new Islam, especially for the topic of women in the West. Here we go.
At the beginning, Islam was the most revolutionary liberalization of women's rights the civilized world has ever seen.
Are you kidding me? What are you drinking? What are you smoking? Because Islam exists for 1,400 years. We have civilization in Egypt where we have Queen Nefertiti. And we have Queen Kilobatra. How many queens we have in the Muslim world? Forget about the West. Forget about Europe. Forget about America. How many queens do we have in the Muslim world? When you can see, look at this. At the beginning, Islam was the most revolutionary liberalization of women's rights the civilized world has ever seen. What civilized world? Islam came to end civilization of humans, not just for women, for humans. What civilization has to do with the savage cult of Islam, where a Muslim man or a Muslim woman cannot leave Islam? That's a civilized world. You leave Islam, will kill you. And if you don't accept Islam, will kill you. Islam starts with the edge of the sword and ends with the edge of the sword. They kill the men to rape the women to raise Muslim babies. Is that a civilization? You're talking about what's his name? Here we go. By American convert to Islam. Yahya M. Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. That American who converted to Islam believed the lies of the Muslim, and he's rebating it. Yahya, you have no clue what Islam is. I challenge Yahya or any Muslim to come on that show or any show in the future to show me where is the civilization in Islam. Not just for women, for people, men and women. Forget about women. They're living in the burqa in prisons for the last 49 years, and they will continue it if we practice Islam. I love it, Christy, how Dr. Sahar said in her meeting that women are doctors, women are teachers, women are lawyers, women are judges, and she's talking about which country?
Yeah.
Muslim women in America, but not in Saudi Arabia.
That's right.
Not if we practice Islam in any other Muslim country like in Saudi Arabia. I'm not kidding you. If you practice Islam in Egypt, we will put women in their houses. Quran chapter 33, verse 33, because that's where women belong. We will not educate them as we're going to see in our study here. Women cannot be educated in Islam. Woman is a toy for a man to enjoy sexually at home and to bear babies. That is the civilization women in Islam. We're going to share with you next week, Lord willing, how woman has been abused sexually that they cannot even enjoy having orgasm like God made us to be. Because in Islam, they took that great gift of sex out of the Muslim woman because she's not supposed to enjoy sex. Even the gift which God Almighty put inside every man and every woman for having sexual relationship is taken out of the woman because that's not a right for a Muslim woman to have. It's sick. Is there any civilization in the Muslim world for men or women or anybody? But they tell us that is the great gift of Islam to women to be the most civilized and most women have more rights. Literally, where in Islam men have rights? What country? Where in Islam men have rights? What chapter in the Quran? What verse? What hadith? That is the question we need to ask. Do men in Islam have rights? Do women in Islam have rights? What rights do you have as a Muslim man or woman? Do you have the right to choose to become a Christian? To choose to become an atheist? Do you have the right not to wear the clothes and eat the food which Muslims force on you? Can you live as a Muslim by Islam with freedom and liberty like in the case of Jews or Christian or somebody else? God help us. God help us. Listen to the next slide here, Chris. This is the next slide here. As Muslims always love to share about the great Islam in the West. In the West. Here we go.
A little known fact is that Islam, brought by the Prophet Muhammad, is the first religion to raise women's status to be equal with men.
You mean in Christianity, women are not equal to men? I'm just here. We're talking about Muhammad, who... For the first time, it is, you know what? All those who live before the last 1400 years, Christy, they have no, women are not equal with men. Are you trying to tell me that really Islam teaches that women and men are equal? And Islam is the first religion who made women equal to men? What chapter? What verse? What hadith? Which country? In the last 1,400 years, I would love somebody to answer this question. If there's a good Muslim out there who is watching me right now, or who maybe watch this program later, please, with all me, you got all my points. Watch the entire study about women in Islam and debate. I will open a special night or a special day. We'll get Brother Adam to open on his channel, and he will moderate it. I would love to debate any Muslim to answer these questions which I'm offering in this podcast. Yeah. Islam raised women's status to be equal to men. Muhammad did that, Christy. Not just Islam. Muhammad himself.
Wow.
The woman abuser, the womanizer, the sex offender, the pedophile, the evil man raised woman's status to be equal to men. I don't know. You have to be... Not drunk, Chris. If you're drunk, you will make more sense than that. You have to be You have to be literally very, very, very stupid person to believe in that. And if there is a Muslim woman out there believing that, sister, get the stupid glasses of Islam out of your eyes and look at the Quran and look at Muhammad and learn. Did really Muhammad or Allah made the status of the woman equal to men in anything? We're going to see about that as we continue our study.
If I may, sorry to interrupt you, brother.
Absolutely, no, go ahead.
Brother, the Quran chapter 4, verse number 34, in Tafsir Dure Mansur, which is attributed to Imam Jalaluddin As-Sayyuti,
yeah,
as you know already.
Uh-huh.
In that Tafsir, it says certain thing, and I would like to present them over here,
sure,
with your permission.
Sure.
It says in his point number 29, it says that Ibn Sa'id wa Ibn Abi Shubayya Hakim wa Bahki in Al-Bahki reports, first a female came to Prophet Muhammad, and she asked that I would do everything for my husband, but what is the level of obedience that I should do to be called that I have fulfilled my duties to the husband? I'm actually trying to translate because there is no English translation of it, so I'm reading and I'm translating.
That's okay, bro. You're doing a good job. You're doing good.
And Muhammad said, if there is blood coming out of his nose and there is pus coming out of his body, and you, the wife, will lick the pus and the blood clean from your husband, you have still not fulfilled your duty in fullness.
Allahu Akbar.
That's kind of
crazy. This is Tafsir Zarul Mansur, and this is referring to Al-Bahki.
Yeah.
And it's not the only one. Then it says in point number 37, it says that if a woman is sitting on a camel and the husband wants to have sex with her, it is necessary for the woman to perform sex right over there.
Sure. Brother, we're going to cover lots of material. What you're sharing here is, I'm glad you mentioned that because it's not in my PowerPoint, but I got enough from the Quran and from the saying of Muhammad that if a Muslim woman sits with us right now with half brain, I don't want a woman with a high school diploma or prep school diploma. Somebody can even have brain. If we literally have a surgery and physically open her head and take half of the brain out and we throw it out, if she have half brain, she will figure out that what they're teaching is lies, and the truth is, what is Islam teach about women? Not this propaganda BS Islam. That is more than BS Islam.
Brother, you're absolutely right. But the problem is, brother, that since childhood, because I was a Muslim once, we teach our daughters and we teach our sisters that they have to obey the father and then the husband at all costs. Like, for example, when I was married with my wife, the father actually said to my wife, you are going in a car with him, but I would only want your dead body to come out of that house. So it means you never leave him. So
yes,
you would do everything. Like, this is a statement of a saying that you go to in this house in a car, but only your dead body should come out. Means you come out of this house when you are dead.
And this is a result of the teaching of Muhammad. What covers the shame of a woman but the dirt of her burial? This is Islam. I mean, her father her father, of course, your father-in-law, we're not making anything strange or anything. And women is a shameful thing. Her voice is a shameful thing. Everything about her is an aura. The only thing you can cover that aura, the word aura, ladies and gentlemen, with all respect, is the woman's private part. Her voice is like her private part. Her existence is like her private part. And the only thing can cover her private part is when she die and bury in dirt. Welcome to the equality between a man and a woman. It's sick. I'm sorry. And I praise God for you, brother, that the Lord have lightened your heart with the truth of the gospel and you became a Christian. And I praise God who changed your beloved wife's heart to make her a Christian. And boy, oh boy, what a great difference to live as a Christian woman equal to men with the teaching of the Bible, as we're going to read in the teaching of the Apostle Paul. No difference, he says, between a man and a woman, a free or a slave, a Hebrew or a Greek, for our all one in Christ Jesus. Show me something like that in the Quran. Show me something like that in Muhammad's teaching. I'll tell you, yes, women in Islam is equal to men, but that's garbage. That's garbage.
That is absolute garbage.
Women in Islam have any rights, period. I challenge Muslims to show me that men in Islam have rights, not women. Men in Islam have any rights.
Well,
when you become a Muslim, you submit. You lose all your rights. You lose all, zero rights when you say the Shahada. Zero rights if you are born from a Muslim daddy. End of story. Chris, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just feel that I really appreciate what Adam is saying, because that is the real Islam. But this is the stuff they're telling our daughters, our granddaughters, our sisters. And that is why they end up marrying Muslim men. Remember, last week, one of the ladies said she became a Muslim, and then she was looking for a good Muslim husband. This is why these women are becoming Muslim, because of the lies they're telling about Islam. And
let's listen to the next one here. Creating the Islamic, Islamist new image for the West. This Islam is made by the deception of Allah, a Muslim believer. For you ladies who live here in America, for you ladies, if you are watching us somewhere in Europe, or if you ladies live anywhere outside the Muslim world, Muslim women in the Muslim world know this is BS.
Yes.
They know it. You don't have to tell a woman whom she go in every day of her life living as a Muslim woman. You don't have to tell her this is a lie. But this was created just for you. We made this special for you, as a female of the West. Here we go. Listen to this. Mary Ali and Injim Ali, wonderful two people who want to teach you about the Islam and the beautiful relationship of women in Islam.
Today, people think that women are liberated in the West and that the women's liberation movement began in the 20th century. Actually, the women's liberation movement was not begun by women, but was revealed by God to a man in the 7th century by the name of Muhammad, who is known as the last prophet of Islam. The Quran and the traditions of the prophet are the sources from which every Muslim woman derives her rights and duties.
That's good. We're getting closer, Christy Dunstan. We're getting closer. See, Islam did all of these great things to women, and the Quran and the Hadith, which is Sunnah of Muhammad, is the source from where women draw her rights and all of these goodness of Allah and Muhammad to themselves. But what chapter? What verse? Which hadith? This couple here, Mary and Angel, they're so sharp. I mean, they're right on the money. They're talking about the Quran and the hadith. That's where we get all what we need to know about Islam. So far, what verse can he quote for me, or she quote for me, to tell me that here we go, you see women's rights, and here we go, is blah, 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 blah. Nothing.
Yeah, Muhammad did not start the women's rights.
But this is the next one here. This one is so
crazy.
Funny. This is really funny. Listen to this, okay? Islam in America by the great Muslims who are here just to represent Allah, the best deceiver for the ladies in the West.
God knows best that which he created. He created human beings. He is a God of wisdom and a God of all knowledge, and so therefore he knows what is best. And he decrees that which is best for humanity, his creatures. Therefore, Muslims try to live by a code of law, which is an expression of that belief. I don't want to discuss the various details of the code of law, because that, I feel, would not really benefit us in this lecture.
Excuse me. What was this lecture was about, Christy? The elevation of women's
rights. Yes.
And in that lecture, he's not going to use the code of law. He's not going to talk about the Quran. He's not talk about the Sunnah of Muhammad. He's not going to talk about the teaching of Muhammad and the Hadith, because if he said these things were from which women get their rights, this will not help his lecture. Hello? So what are you going to say? I mean, if you're going to talk about lecture about the elevation of women's status, wouldn't you use the Quran and the Hadith to prove your point? No!
That won't help you.
Listen, it's not God, capital G-O-D, it is Allah. When you say God knows best that which he created, I'm sorry, that's true, but Allah does not create anything. Allah is Satan, never created anything. He, Allah, created human beings. He is the God of wisdom and the God of all knowledge. That is true about God. But when you talk about Allah, the God of Muhammad, Allah, not God, Allah, huh? That God is not the God of wisdom. Small G-O-D. Okay? Allah, the God of Muhammad, is not the God of wisdom. Allah, the God of Muhammad, is not the God of knowledge. And he knows nothing. Not knows the best. Allah knows nothing. How we know that? Just read the Quran.
Fine.
Read the Quran. You found that Allah is not wise. Allah is foolish. Allah is Satan. Allah does not know. Allah does not know anything, not the best or the worst. Allah does not know anything. When we talk about God, it's different than talk about Allah. Allah is one thing and God is another thing. Are you talking about the God of the Bible? Yes, indeed. But Allah, that's not, these are not first with Allah. That just simply just to take the word Allah out and put the word God, capital G-O-D, that is the greatest deception I've ever heard. And I get Adam. Adam, if you think about your Allah in the past, when you used to be a Muslim, do you really believe that Allah is the God of wisdom? Allah is the God of knowledge? Allah is the one who knows best? Is this true about Allah, the God of Muhammad?
As a Muslim, yes, absolutely.
Now, when you come to know Jesus Christ and you know the God of the Bible, does these things fit with Allah, the God of Muhammad?
Absolutely not. By the way, before I came to Christ, I was an agnostic. And I was an agnostic because I found out that Allah was one of the most stupid, idiotic, false god in the history of false gods.
You mean Allah was both the all-wisdom, the all-knowledge, everything you can ever see in Islam?
No, brother. If you start reading just the Quran, in its true essence, you will realize there is nothing in Quran. It is a falsified thing, left, right, and center mixed up. And if you try to arrange the stories together, you'll realize it has no information in it.
Sure. Now, here we go. Allah, the God of Muhammad, he created a code in which, in it, you know the express of the belief of the Muslims. That code, according to Islam, is what is written in the Quran, and it was written in the Hadith. And Muhammad said it, and Muhammad breaks it in his sunnah, how Muhammad lived his life concerning women. And that, these wonderful people who are giving us this lecture, the Sheikh here, Sheikh Ali, was giving a lecture on the topic of elevation of women's status in Islam. That man could not use anything about Allah's writing or Muhammad's teaching or Muhammad's sunnah in the subject, because nothing there can help his lecture. This is not my words. That's what Sheikh Ali said. Unless you're teaching some hogwash and BS talk, then it will fit perfectly. Yeah, make up new Islam for the West. But the Islam of the Quran, the Islam of Muhammad, it's the opposite, it is the opposite, it is the opposite, as I'm going to be sharing with you in our study. We're just saying hello for the subject of our study.
You saw
we can do half of it today, but I don't think we can. We'll see what the Lord's going to do. Yes, please.
We have a caller on Blog Talk, so would you like me to try to bring them in?
Yes, you can. Right now, before I get to one.
Yeah, that's one, why one, I wanted to do that. Okay, caller, I'm going to bring you on. Please speak up if we have any problem hearing you. This is a little tricky, and the number that you're calling from, the last three numbers are 863. And you're on the air with me. Go ahead with your comment or question. Are you there, caller? Your last three numbers are 863. Did you have a comment or a question? Can you hear me? Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air with us if you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you don't, it's okay. I'll put you back on to listen.
All right. We'll let them go. Maybe if he changes mind, some other family that we can help.
All right. That's fine.
One woman story. We heard what the Muslims said about the Muslim women status in Islam and how this is, the living with this almighty Allah cause, which is the best for them. Here's the story of an American lady who knows the true story about Islam.
I loved Asha. We met at college and dated steadily through my junior and senior years. With Asha, I felt like a princess. He showered me with gifts and treated me with a gracious chivalry that I hadn't known in any American man. He was thoughtful, considerate, ruggedly handsome, intelligent, and often spiritual. I did not give much thought to his devout Muslim faith. As a casual Baptist, I assumed that everyone who attended church, a synagogue, or a mosque was basically on the same track. His morality certainly seemed higher than that of the other white boys I had dated. He married in the summer and vacationed in his home country in a beautiful, majestic place with tall spires and rolling hills. At the mosque, I was bemused by the practices. Back in the United States, we settled into a routine of work, play, and eventually children. The changes in Asham appeared slowly. Occasionally, he became abrupt with me and our 5-year-old son. He constantly sent money overseas, supposedly to his family, and was secretive, especially when his friends came around. Every Friday, Asham took our son to the mosque, although I no longer went with them. Then one Friday, I discovered that Asham had left the country with our son. In the subsequent weeks, I discovered to my horror that myself and my child were considered Muslims, converted at least on paper. Thus, my son had to be raised in Islam. Because my rights to my child were minimal in his country, my child was gone and my life was forever marred. I did not know that I had joined a growing culture, a culture of white American women who marry foreign Muslim men.
What a sad story. That's not just one lady's story. That is the story of almost every white American or black American lady who married a Muslim man. You have to do one of the two choices. Stay with your husband to keep being in a relationship with your children. I mean, in that case here, our dear friend here, she only have one son. Can you imagine having 3-4 children? And you're going to lose your children for life. And you regret it for the rest of your life if you will not pretend to be a Muslim, if you will not do everything you can to please your husband, including licking the blood and the butt of his body to appease Muhammad, who gave the rules, the code of law. This is Islam in a nutshell. This is Islam in 5 sentences. This is the ABC of women in America marrying to Muslim men. You know, amazingly, Christy, I met with so many of these American ladies. She said, when we went to the mosque, the imam said something in Arabic, and I repeat after him, I did not even know what I was saying. I said, excuse me, what? Well, he, before the wedding, my husband just said, repeat what he said. And I said, do you remember any of what he said? She said, I don't know. I said, okay, let me remind you. Did you say, ashhadu anna la? She said, yeah, that's it. Ashhadu anna la ilaha illallah, yeah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, yeah. You see how beautiful Islam? They made the stupid American say the Shahada without having a clue what they're saying. They're tricking you, stupid American lady, make you believe in Islam and practice Islam for the rest of your life, and you don't have a clue what you're saying.
You know,
that is the deception. If that's not deception, Christy, what is deception?
Well, this is deception, but I also wonder about motives for having this child in the United States. And then, now, this child gets taken to a Muslim country and raised in Islam, but it's an American citizen. Then it comes back. What are we doing? Are we creating this problem?
When we have Sister Sharon again, and I know and I pray she will come, she will share 100% similar story to that.
Yeah.
She lost her son in Egypt. It's sad. And it's not just Sharon and this lady. We're talking about thousands of kids like that. So you have to do one of those things. Bite your tongue and be obedient to your husband and do exactly what he asks you, including where's the hijab, where is the burqa, go to the mosque, or just let it go, lose your children, and run for your life if you can run away.
But
if you have escaped the imprisonment of being married to a Muslim man. Go ahead.
Well, but what I'm asking is, from the viewpoint of the risk of terrorism, is this like a way in which you raise an American citizen in a Muslim country?
These men care less. You're talking to them as if they're like human. They're not human.
I know, but you're not hearing the question completely. Now, this American citizen being raised in a Muslim country could grow up to be a jihadist and taught to come back to America as an American citizen.
We have them in America who grew up in America, live all their life in America, who joined ISIS from America.
Usama, I know that, but I'm just saying these are American citizens raised in Islam in a Muslim country. Aren't they at a greater risk to be coming back to America as an American citizen with full rights to vote, to do everything, and to carry out some jihadist activity according to their belief in Islam?
What do you think, Christy? What do you think?
Well, I believe it's a possibility.
This is already what is happening. We got Muslims born in this country. We got Muslims, American born in the Middle East, and they both did the same thing.
Usama, you know that. I know that. I'm making the point that these women don't know that. Your child could be being turned into a jihadist.
I can get you other women I know personally who will tell you that they exactly live in that.
I know. But Usama, we're talking about women who don't know this, who need to know when they take your kid.
You ask me the question like if it never happened.
Usama.
Just say it, Christy. Say it as a fact. These women have children who became jihadi. Hello? Say it openly. Why are you making the question for me? It's already happening. We have hundreds of them like that.
It wasn't a question, Usama. It was something to bring attention in case women didn't know that.
I thought you asked me a question. I can't see your face. I don't have the camera on my computer to see you. But the fact is, Muslim men care less about taking their children from these American wives, stupid wives, and raising as Muslim jihadi to come back to kill their own mother.
Exactly.
Not just kill the Americans, because their own mother. Have we seen in the Middle East Muslims beheading their own children?
Yes.
Beheading their own children? Yes. It's going to happen in America.
That's the point. The woman who marries this Muslim and thinks it's just all love and hugs and kisses, and gee, I'm a lovely, wonderful Christian because I married this Muslim, they don't understand there's a part of it that isn't entering into their mind when they're falling in love with a Muslim.
Stupid is, stupid does, Christy.
We're trying to educate them so they're not stupid anymore.
If stupid enough to marry a Muslim man, anything after this will go with the stupidity of the whole thing. Now, we have in this life here, someone is not telling the truth. The women in America speak very highly about women. Muslim comfort in America speak very highly about Muslim women, and everybody in the West speak very highly about Muslim women. But here is hundreds of stories. We heard two last week. Here's another one. And if you want one for the rest of my life, I can get you a new story every week. No kidding. American ladies who've been to hell on earth marrying to a Muslim man.
Yes.
Or converting to Islam, and they found out the truth about how savage Islam is. They heard the lie, they accept Islam. A few years later, they discover the truth to their horror. was there or somebody is lying.
Yeah, just another thing that I ran into today on the internet.
Yes, ma'am.
Was a text volume dealing with domestic violence in Islam. You know, one of the first times I met a Muslim was when I was working, this before I met you, in the domestic violence shelter. And the young lady that was in there, we always do an interview with them to ask them, why do they believe there were a victim? Why was their husband abusive to them? Because we're trying to get an understanding of what they think. And she's the only person that said, because we're Muslim. That was her answer. And it caught me off guard because I never had met you yet. And I went, oh, my gosh, what is she talking about?
He's abusive to her the same reason, because he's a Muslim, she's
yes,
a Muslim.
Because they're Muslim. And this was kind of like a little shocker for me to try to learn more about it.
I can imagine. Here's what Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister under Adolf Hitler, said about lying.
If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The truth is the mortal enemy of the lie.
Just tell the lie big enough and just keep repeating it. American stupid women, black or white, will believe it, and they will convert Islam to marry that loving, peaceful, great husband, a Muslim guy. Now, I want to introduce you to the lady, which we're going to go on with the entire article she wrote about Islam, Sister Raqiya Fariz Maqsood. She is a British lady who helped to grow Islam in England. And I guarantee hundreds or maybe thousands of British ladies became a Muslima because of her. Here's the truth.
English convert to Islam, Raqiya Fariz Maqsood, is the author of over 30 books on Islam and other subjects. A former head of religious studies at various UK inner city secondary schools, she is probably Britain's leading authority on GCSE Islamic studies.
I wonder how many ministers in America, how many preacher or priests in America wrote 30 books about Christianity? I'm not saying 3, 30. I wrote 5. 2 small booklets and 5. I don't think I'm going to write 30 before I'm dead. If I live to be 80, I'm not going to write 30. She's a young lady, here we go, English teacher, and she wrote 30 books on Islam. And where she's working at? She was working in the school. She's in the secondary school in England. Do you know how much influence that lady here had on the British young ladies, whom, by the way, the Muslims love to rape? When you get to high school, secondary school, what is the age for secondary school, Christy? What's the age there?
In Britain, I'm not sure, but it would be like maybe high school age, 14, 15.
Oh, that's old. The Muslims love to rape young girls when they are like 9, 10, to follow the sunnah of Muhammad. We're going to talk about that. I promise you. I'm going to cover it. And I'll show you what the Muslim Pakistani and Bangladeshi is doing to the British young girl, 9, 10, 11. You say 14, that's old. That's okay. Okay? And the Muslim mind, that's like, man, she's old. God help us. What she said now. Listen to her.
Sister Raqiya identifies with the battle to preserve Islam as the one true faith, tolerant, noble, and compassionate, in face of the growth of the other Islam, which is extremist and intolerant, and which she regards as both false and dangerous.
Wow. So Sister Raqiya Fariz Maqsood believes there are two separate Islam, ladies and gentlemen. One is tolerant, the other one is intolerant. One is noble, the other one is honorable. One is compassionate, the other one is savage. One is another one is that. That's hogwash. Because as we go through her article and we expose her lies by the words of Allah in the Quran and the command of Muhammad the Hadith, you find she's nothing. She's sick. She married this Muslim man, Pakistani, who, by the way, divorced her to marry his own cousin, who is much younger and beautiful than her. Why is a Pakistani Muslim man married her? Maybe to become a British, who knows? Maybe to convert her to Islam, and raise Muslim babies. Who knows? By the way, she's still a Muslim. She never left Islam. She believes in the lies of Islam, and she was abused by her first love, the husband, the Pakistani Muslim, who divorced her, got rid of her, or his own cousin, married his own cousin. But by the way, in Islam, you can marry first cousin, best mom. Maybe you do have more, you know, sick children, mentally ill, so they will continue Islam. But if they have some logic, they will leave Islam. So she is going to work hard. She was fighting. She's in a battle. She's in jihad. She's in war to preserve Islam, to fix Islam from the bad Muslims, the extremists, the fundamentalists, the jihadi, the radicals. Wow. Wow. She thinks that Islam you hear about, which I'm going to be sharing with you, the word of Allah in the Quran, and the command of Muhammad in the Hadith, the code of law which Allah, the all-known, says which is the best for a man or woman. After all, Allah made it. He knows how women should be treated. He knows how men should have the right over the women according to the word of Allah in the Quran. That Islam of Allah and Muhammad is dangerous. So which Islam do you want, Sister Ruqayya? Of the Islam of love, peace. Islam is the light. Yes, indeed. Garbage, lies, and deception by British woman. Does this woman have any brain? According to Muhammad, she's half brain. According to Usama Dakhtar, she's so stupid, no brain whatsoever. If you open her head, you see two ears and an empty box. Nothing there. Nothing. A British English teacher. She's going to fight for the women's rights and for Islam, to preserve the real good Islam from that wicked, evil Islam of Allah and Muhammad. What, is she the prophetess now? She's going to write her own new Quran? Yes, indeed. I wonder what she wrote in her 30 books. I never read one of her books. I just read that article. And I concentrate in that article to present the truth about exposing her lies, about women in Islam, from her article. God is my witness. If I will buy her 30 books, I may write 30 other books to expose it, and she will make me famous. I can write 30 books in a couple of years. But on my own, I maybe die before I made my 10th books. Listen to her own words as she defending Islam.
How can anyone justify Islam's treatment of women when it imprisons Afghans under blue shuttlecock workers and makes Pakistani girls marry strangers against their will?
Excuse me, what? I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said. Can you say it again? Because I'm literally shocked here. I'm shaking. You go.
How can anyone justify Islam's treatment of women when it imprisons Afghans under blue shuttlecock workers and makes Pakistani girls marry strangers against their will?
She's talking about two things. The hijab for the Afghani women and forcing the Pakistani girls to marry stranger against their own will. Maybe you need to read the Quran, sister. Maybe you need to get familiar with Sharia and how Allah wanted Muslims to practice Islam, especially women. Now I ask a question. Did Muhammad force women to wear the burqa? Yes or no? Yes or no? Did Muhammad marry little children against their will? Yes or no? Because if that's what Muhammad practiced, if that's what Muhammad taught, if that's what Allah teaches Muslims to practice from the Quran, if this is what Sharia is all about, then you need to shut up and learn the truth about Islam and confess that you are the best loser. You're the best useful idiot the Muslims ever had in England. By the way, when you listen to Dr. Ruqayya Wariq Maqsood, that lady here, and you listen to Dr. Sahar's speech, which she did in New Orleans University, I'm not kidding you, Christy. I'm not kidding you. Word for word, the same, in the same order. I was shocked when I went online to learn about, because I did not record what Dr. Sahar said. But everything Dr. Sahar said, that woman said, is the same order. It seemed to me like they have a material, like a presentation, like a PowerPoint, and they teach it to people. Here's how you lie to the stupid American women. Here's how you lie to the stupid British woman. Here's how you lie to the stupid foreigner, Western women, and that's how we can gain them and make them believe in Islam to be what it is not. listen to what Allah said about Muhammad. Because if you can figure out Quran 33:21, every single of this will be a piece of cake. I'm not going to have to teach you anymore. You just figure out what's going on here.
Indeed, there was in the Apostle of Allah a noble example for you, for him who was hoping in Allah and in the last day, and remember Allah much.
So the simple word, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if there are boys and girls listening right now, if Muhammad taught it, it is Islam. It is the best. If Muhammad practiced it, it is Islam. It is the best. That is the Sunnah. Allah in the Quran and Muhammad in the Hadith, in his teaching, and Muhammad in his Sunnah, how Muhammad lived his life, is the best code where Muslims live by. If Muhammad did it, he practiced it, every Muslim man has the right to do the same thing. Let's move on. Here I have, Muhammad had 13 wives. Where did I learn about that? I just read some Muslim books written by Muslims. And so when you go to volume 2, which is the book of Ihya al-Ulum, Ihya al-Ulum al-Din, that is a book tells us about Khadija, Muhammad's first wife. You go on page 20 and you read the story of Khadija. Who is Khadija? Muhammad's first wife. As a matter of fact, it's Muhammad's only wife while she was still alive. Why? Because Muhammad was living under her roof. No kidding. That's how women was respected, and women have equal rights with like men, and women have every right before Islam, ladies and gentlemen. Not Muhammad is the first one who raised the status of women. Muhammad is the man who destroyed, let me say it again, destroyed the status of women to be equal to black dogs and a donkey. Black dog and a donkey. Coming up, I'm going to share it with you. Muhammad used to work for the business lady Khadija. She actually had more men working for her. You see, in Muhammad days, before he reached the age of 40, women in Saudi Arabia used to be powerful before Islam. Women used to run business before Islam. Women used to be equal with men and better than men before Islam, to the point that here Muhammad working for his boss, a lady by the name Khadija. I'm not giving this up. Go to Ihya Ulum al-Din and read about Khadija. I'll give you the name of the book and the page. And what else? Muhammad could not have another wife, even after he claimed to be a prophet, as long as Khadija was wearing the pants. She was the boss. He still worked for her. When she proposed to him, because she found him to be faithful, and it's true. I mean, I'm reading these books, and I believe these books. Muhammad was faithful. He was not a thief. He never stole her like other men tried to steal her. She found him to be faithful before Muhammad became a prophet. Because after Muhammad became a prophet, he's no longer faithful. He was a thief. He was a nice guy before he became a prophet. After he became a prophet, he's not. You see, I only have what the Muslims tell me. When I read that book, Ihya Ulum al-Din, and I read about Khadija, and Khadija said, Muhammad was nice, Muhammad was faithful. He did not steal it. She called him Amin, meaning the faithful. She loved him. She proposed to him, accepted her proposition, and she married him, even though she was 20 years older than him, and she was obviously having children from previous marriages from other men whom she maybe got rich for inheriting them. Before Islam, women can inherit her husband, take all the money. And that's how Khadija became rich. All this changed when Muhammad came to the picture. But Muslim lie and say Muhammad is the one who left the status of women to be equal to men. And Muhammad did this, Muhammad did all the sweet talk which makes your love, your heart full of love with Muhammad and Islam. Let's talk about the second book, The Woman of the Prophet. The Woman of the Prophet. That's the second source, okay? On page 58 and 59, I learn about another wife, Muhammad, by the name Sauda bint Zima. Sauda bint Zima. Sauda means black. She was not an attractive woman. She was not beautiful. It's like, wait a minute. Khadija died. You married to an older lady for all these years and she died. Okay. Now, go ahead. Marry a beautiful, attractive, young girl in her 20s, in her 60s. No. He married Sauda bint Zima. Why? Why a man in the position of Muhammad who claimed to be a prophet and his wife died, now marry an ugly, fat, not attractive woman? all for a reason, because he needed a babysit. Excuse me, what? A babysit. I thought he married her. Because, no. He married because he needs somebody to babysit his favorite wife. Who's his favorite wife? Oh, look at this, the bottom here. Here we go. Look at this. Aisha. That is in the next book. And we read that in page 160, book number 5, the prophet, the wife of the prophet. That's another book, which is on page 176 and pages 54, volume 4, 7, page 19. We got so many places we can go learn about Mama Aisha. Notice now, I'm talking about his favorite wife, the little girl. When Muhammad married her, she was 6 years old. And oh, her husband, her daddy, and her mommy loved her. Oh, we'll be honored to give you our daughter's wife. No! That's a lie. Because Abu Bakr said, you're my brother. He said, yeah, I'm your brother in faith, but I like her. You see, Allah gave Muhammad a vision. Visions is not just in the Bible, guys. Vision is also in the teaching of Muhammad, in the teaching of Islam. You see, Muhammad always likes to copy something in the Bible and make it for himself. So think about it. Who have a vision in the Bible? Apostle, his name is Peter. What was his vision about, ladies and gentlemen? He saw a blanket coming from heaven. And in the blanket, there were all kind of animals, all kind of creatures, clean and unclean. And God told Peter, arise, Peter, kill. Go to Acts chapter 10. I'm not making this up. Kill and eat. And Peter said, forbid me, Lord. I will never do that. These are unclean animals. I will never eat. I will never touch. And the same vision came 3 times. And from it, we learned that God wants to tell Peter what God made clean. You don't say unclean. Why? Because Peter is about to go and minister to a Gentile man by the name of Cornelius. And you believe Gentiles are unclean. We're not supposed to talk to them. No. I died on the cross for his sin. I believe you must go. God ordered Peter to go and share the gospel with them, and I will prove you that he's clean. As Peter went and ministered to Cornelius, he got saved, spoke in tongues with his family, and they were baptized, and that's how the church grew, not only among the Jews, but among the Gentiles, because there's no such a thing as clean or unclean people. That was a bad custom for the Jews before Christ went to the cross. Now, Muhammad had a similar vision. A sail, a blanket, coming from heaven, and Muhammad looked, and guess what is the blanket, Christy Johnson? Mama Aisha. This 6 years old, beautiful girl in the blanket. And there was a silk, a blanket of silk. And Allah is saying, Muhammad, she is yours. Wow. Don't you love the vision of Muhammad? He's covered the Bible, but for his own good. So he told Abu Bakr, Allah gave her to me. I cannot disobey Allah. I am the noblest example. If I disobey Allah, what the rest of the Muslim will do? Come on, man. I obey Allah. You obey Allah. Give me your daughter. She's my wife. 6 years old. And Muhammad did not wait until she turned 9 to take her to his home. No, he take her at the age of 6, as if she's an orphan. You know, she does not have a father or mother. No. Her father became the first successor, the first Khalifa after Muhammad died. So he can take care of her until she grew up. No. Muhammad left to play his little Aisha, that little wife of Muhammad. But at the same time, he cannot leave her alone. So he needs that babysitter. You see, here's the connection between Sauda, Binti Zim'a, and Aisha, Muhammad's favorite wife. So she took care of her for 3 years. And then it's time now for Muhammad to make love to his beautiful favorite wife, Aisha, at the age of 9. Muhammad was only 54 and she was only 9. So what Muhammad would do to Sauda bint Zam'ah, this great wife we read about in the women of the Prophet, time for her to go. I don't need a babysat anymore. He said, I want a divorce. Oh, Prophet Allah, please don't divorce me. I want to be one of your wife at the day of judgment. I want to be your wife. Here's the deal, Muhammad. I know how much you like Aisha. I've been watching how you blaze, how you touch her, how you hug her, how you kiss. I know you love her. She's your favorite. And nobody has to tell me. I don't have any sexual needs. I am no longer like all the women. I'm an old lady, and I know I'm not trying to get, and I know you don't want to have sex with me. You never have, okay? So here's the deal. I will give my night to your favorite wife, Aisha. As long as, please don't divorce me. Okay, okay. I'm a nice guy. I'm not going to divorce you. You're still my wife. But no business between me and you in bed, you know? I'm not going to make love to you. Yeah, thank you. Okay, two nights for Aisha and one night for every other wife of the 16 wives. Let me give you another example. Zainab bint Jahsh. Zainab bint Jahsh. Who is Zainab bint Jahsh? Oh, that is the wife of Zayd. Who is Zayd? That is the son whom Muhammad adopted. Oh, come on. You're making this up. No. It's true. Allah is my witness. Will I lie to you? We'll go to the Quran. We'll read together what we have in Quran. By the way, in the woman of the Prophet, we'll learn about Zainab bint Jahsh. But we can also go to the Quran, chapter 33, and read verses 37 and 38. So we'll learn about Zainab and Zayd. Zainab bint Jahsh and Zayd Muhammad adopted son. Here we go. Listen to the word of Allah in the Holy Quran of the Holy Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam.
And when you said to whom Allah had grace on, and you grace on, keep your wife to yourself and fear Allah. And you did hide in yourself what Allah would reveal. And you feared the people, and Allah is more worthy to be feared.
I'm amazed. When I talk about Ayusha, the 76 years old whom Muhammad married, and he had intercourse with her when she was 9 and he was 54, you know what Muslims say? That was the normal, you know, men in Muhammad days, 49 years ago, they used to marry little children all the time. That's not a young age. And don't forget, he didn't have sex with her when she was 6. He waited until 9. But if you live in America, they will tell you, Mother Aisha, she was 28 when Muhammad engaged her. And he married her when she was 34. I mean, they make up any numbers they want. All Muslim sources, all Muslim books tell me that she was 6 when Muhammad married her. She was 9 when Muhammad had sex with her. And she was 18 when Muhammad died. But somehow, the American sources make up different numbers. She was 28 or 38 when Muhammad married her. But here's the truth. It is not the norm in Muhammad days. As a matter of fact, if you study the life of all the companions of Muhammad, Omar, Ali, Abu Bakr, Osman, all the good Muslim Muhammad had, none of them marry a little girl. I'm not joking with you. Prove me wrong. Show me, was Abu Bakr married to a little girl? Was Omar married to a little girl? I mean, where we learn from the history of early Muslims that all of them married little girls? Doesn't happen. Doesn't exist. And if it is true, why Allah said here, when you, Muhammad, said to Zayd, that his son in adoption, whom Allah had graced and you graced on, keep your wife. Why Muhammad tells Zayd, keep your wife to yourself and fear Allah. And you did hide in yourself what Allah would reveal. And you feared the people, and Allah is more worthy to be. Why Muhammad was fearing the people? That's the norm. Men in Muhammad days, in the 40, 50 men of the girls. Why Muhammad fears the people? What he's doing wrong? When I married to my wife, Vicky, I did not fear anybody. I married because I love her. I married because that's the woman I choose. I didn't fear anybody. I don't believe a man in his 40s or in his 50s will fear people about marrying a wife. He's a grown-up. He's a prophet, for heaven's sake. He's the best noble example for Muslims to follow. Why did Muhammad fear the people? Because he's doing something stupid. He's a child molester. He's a pedophilia. A pedophile. Practicing pedophilia. That's what Muhammad was. He was worried about what people would think of him. How the story came to get to be here. Read the Muslim scholars' interpretation. So Muhammad went to check on his daughter-in-law. Let me check my time here. Check on his son and adoption Zayd and his wife Zainab. So he knocked at the door. Zainab! Oh, Master of Allah, please come on in. And she went to the door and the wind lifted up her beautiful soft clothes and Muhammad saw this beautiful attractive legs. The sexiest white legs of the most beautiful woman in the city. Whoa! killing me, woman. Subhanallah, muqallib al-qulub. Oh, great Allah, who changed my heart. Who is you? Woo! What's happening? He saw what caused him to lust after her. Not to love her, to lust after her. You don't love your daughter-in-law, the wife of your adopted son. No! He lusts after her. And he's amazing how Allah changed his heart towards her. He no longer loves her as a man loves his daughter-in-law, but as a man lusts after a woman. So Zayd come home. Hey, Zayd, honey, what, babe? The Apostle of Allah was here tonight in the... I was rushing. I was in my clothes, night clothes. I run into the door and the wind. He saw me. He saw me naked and he said, Subhana muqallib al-qulub. How great Allah who changed the hearts. Change my heart. Where's you? Now, he figured out Muhammad is in lust with his wife. One of the two things. He can divorce her and live and move on with his life, or he came here as a wife and Muhammad would kill him and marry her. Which way do you think he should go? Let me think. You know what? I would just go ahead and sacrifice my beautiful wife because I know how great Muhammad is. He loved me so much. If you want my wife, I just let him have her. So what happened? Muhammad met with Zayd and Zayd Muhammad. Muhammad, yes. I don't want my wife. Oh, come on, man. I don't like her anymore. I don't love her anymore. Is there something wrong with her? No, nothing wrong with her. I don't feel like her. Every time I try to have good time with her, I can't. My private part will not arouse to be able to make love to her, so I can't. I don't want her as wife. Please, I want a divorce. Keep your wife, man. Look at this here. Keep your wife to yourself and fear Allah. What Allah? The devil? Satan? And you're hiding your heart, Muhammad. This is, by the way, the hardest verse was given about Muhammad as Muslim scholars tell. If there was a verse Muhammad would love to remove from the Quran, he would remove. But you know what? Muhammad made it up, put in the Quran, to give a good excuse. It is Allah who wants him to marry Zainab bint Jahsh, not Muhammad. Let's continue.
So when Zayd had satisfied his desire from her, we've married her to you, so that it would not be a shame on the believers to marry the wives of their sons.
Shame on Allah, shame on Muhammad, shame on every stupid Muslim who believes in this garbage to be the word of God. That's all I can say. We married her to you. Allah married Zayd to Muhammad. Can you imagine that? What is the Torah, Muslim believers? Where is the belief in Moses and his Torah? What does the Bible teach us to do about marrying our daughter-in-law? But don't worry, he was not his real son. That's why Muhammad, have a contract with Allah. Give me another verse, Allah. You know what? Can we cancel the adoption? Trust me, nothing good was there before Muhammad came after he claimed to be a prophet. One of the greatest noble things a man can ever do. And I know that from experience. Let me say it again. I know that from experience. One of the greatest things you can ever do is to adopt a child. I adopt my child. When I hold the child in my hand 24 years ago, exactly 2 days ago, on the 27th, I hold my son Caleb in my hand in the hospital. I'm not kidding you. My heart was pumping so hard. I begged the nurse, please take the baby from me. And I was almost fainting, in a fainting experience. My heart was pumping too hard. I felt sweat. I felt I'm running out of air. I could not breathe. And the nurse took the baby from my hand and she smiled. She did not even know that I am an adopted daddy. That's not my real son, but the Lord gave him to me. That adoption is the best thing exists among Arabs and Muhammad cancer because of his love over his daughter-in-law, the wife of his adopted son. What a sick, evil, wicked man. And he canceled and ended adoption. You think I'm making it up? No. That's what the Quran teaches. Let's go to verse 38.
There was no shame on the prophet where Allah had ordained for him. The custom of Allah with those who have gone before and the command of Allah was a predetermined decree.
There's no custom before Muhammad to end adoption. The custom was to have a children. If you go in, you adopt them and you raise them as your own. This is garbage lie. There's no custom before Muhammad and the decree of Allah. What decree? Because Muhammad lust after Zainab now became a decree of Allah. A law, a code of law. Muslim live by. God help us. God help us. These are three simple examples of Muhammad's wives. The first one is Khadija. The second one was Zainab bin Zim'ah, Suda bin Zim'ah, who literally is a babysit of the beautiful wife, the favorite wife of Muhammad, Aisha, and the last one, Zainab bin Jahsh. And believe me, it's a very sad, sorrowful story. Very sorrowful story. We talk about Safiya, the daughter of Hayy, the woman whom Muhammad killed, her father, her husband, and her brother, raped her in the same night. He didn't even follow his own Sharia, because according to Islam, he should wait 3 months in case she's pregnant by her husband, whom he just killed. No, he had sex with her on the same night. Who knows? If she was ever been pregnant by her husband, Muhammad would have been the father of her child. But thank God, she never had any children. We're going to stop here, guys. We're almost run out of time. And I'm sick and tired of the subject. God help us. This is the reality of Muhammad's wives and how Muhammad lived with his wives, whom he married by force. We're going to talk about hijab a little bit later in our study, but for now, we just covered the one. Did Muhammad force people to marry against their will? Do you think Zainab really want to marry a man who is 50-some years old, leaving her husband in his 20s? Her father-in-law? Do you really believe Aisha said, yes, I do? 6 years old child, when the father and the mother said no. Do you think that little girl said, yes, I would love to marry Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when she was 6 years old, and he's a garbage piece of palm man, 51 years old? I don't think so. Muhammad raped women. Muhammad married women against their will. Muhammad married little children against their will and against their parents' will. That is a noble example for every Muslim man to live. That is the code of law, which imams like this sheikh will not use because it's not going to help him. It actually does the opposite of what he's trying to accomplish. Come in, Christy. Come in, brother Adam. Share with me, guys. What do you have in mind? What do you have in mind?
Well, I just want to remind you, we have like 7 minutes left on the radio broadcast, so I'll try to keep track of that so we can close out on time there.
Sure.
This example is such a example that when Western says that it was back then, the problem is it is still happening. It's happening in Pakistan.
Sure.
No.
It's happening in America today. We got Muslim Afghani in America with the little white children. And the American government and the intelligence shut up, close their mouths, and these girls are still raped by their husband in America, in the state of Wisconsin, in the state of Minnesota, in America, in New York, in America. So don't tell me that in the Middle East. Go ahead.
Wow, I was unaware of that. Thank you so very much. I literally was unaware of that. But that's happening in Pakistan, right, left, and center. And one of the major, major thing which came out of the news was that the guy, 80 years old, married a 13-year-old girl, and there was a uproar in Pakistan, and the international news media went to that guy. Yeah, that's the thing.
He's old. Wow. We want it to be turned 20? Or because he's 18? He can. There's nothing. Sharia said the age of a man can be, at any age, a man can marry a girl after birth. Sharia teaches, ladies and gentlemen, you marry a girl after birth, you cannot have sex with her until the age of 8 or 9.
Okay, absolutely, brother. And when the media went to that guy, he said the same thing. He said, this is, you are telling me that I did something wrong, then I am sorry, na'auzubillah, then you are actually saying Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did something wrong as well. And you know, brother, not a single newspaper, not a single news channel went to that guy ever again. That news was shut down 100% completely.
He used the noble example, Muhammad. End of story. What happened in Egypt when Mohammed Morsi became a president, they tried to change the age of marriage to girls from 16 to 9. That's why the Egyptians rose up and removed the Muslim Brotherhood from power. That's one of the laws they tried to force on the Egyptians. Can you imagine girls in Egypt being married at the age of 9?
Wow.
God help us. It's not just Pakistan. It's the whole Muslim world. It's the whole Muslim world. We got some picture we're going to share with you, Lord is willing, a little bit later in our study. It will make your heart cry. If you don't cry as a human for these little girls who are abused by the Muslim husbands in the Muslim world and in America, then you're not a human. If your heart will not be broken to see little girls married to all the men in the Muslim world in America, I don't care how evil Muslims are. But when you see that happen to the Muslim girls, you should cry blood, not just water. If you're a human.
Yeah, they try. I do have some pictures still, Usama, of these little girls, but some of the video that was available a few years ago, it was horrible. Horrible. Girls being burned and cut and acid, and it's just terrible. We've got about three minutes, so it's probably time for you to close us out.
I want to pray for those who are watching us right now. We're going to take our time. We're going to cover this presentation and every other presentation we have. I hope I'm not crossing the line of the language or whatever I'm saying. Forgive me, but this subject is eating my heart, and it should eat your heart. And we need to wake up our stupid American girls and ladies who are falling in love with Islam, believing the lies of the Muslims. And that is the perfect place. So I hope and I pray, share this room with other people. Let other people know. It's very simple. You got the link from us? You're watching it? Let other people know. We're going to do this every Saturday, Lord's willing. Any last word, Christy or Adam?
Nope.
God bless you, brothers. And everyone who's watching in the live stream, please like and share. Like, share, and also comment. Because your likes, your shares, and especially your comments push the video up in the YouTube algorithm. So please like it, and please put your comments in after the video is done. Put your comments. Does not matter. Just a small comment, a more comment. Just keep comments coming. It will keep on pushing the video up. So please like and comment.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys. God bless you. Thanks, Christy. Thanks, Adam. Thanks for all those who are watching and listening to us and those in the chat room. God bless you. We'll see you next Saturday, Lord's willing. As we said, we're going to start a good 10 minutes or so before the show just to set everything up for time. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next Saturday. Keep us in your prayers. Listen carefully to the last piece here. It's more important than everything I shared, the gospel message.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know